Anything anybody wants to talk about?
Yes.
All right.
Aaron and I were chatting the other day, and it was about learning. Roger was always strong on not putting ourselves in the position of learning. And Karen and I didn't really reach a place of understanding of why he would have had such a strong feeling about that.
Because
so we would ask the rest of you guys that are on the phone here, and particularly Misty, she has a better understanding of what his aversion to put ourselves in the position of learning.
Anybody else want to go before I do?
Well,
you go.
No?
Isn't learning, there's somebody else pouring their ideas into you where you might be discovering?
No. What learning is about is that you're setting out to cause something.
Okay.
You're setting out to cause yourself to be more knowledgeable. He was about expanding yourself.
And so that I can learn to drive the car, or I can acquire a skill called driving a car.
Well, you can have learning after the fact. I learned this skill.
Well, my question was kind of around stuff like I'm moving around the kitchen and I touch the hot stove. And I learned through that experience not to do it again.
Right. That's after the fact.
Is that not learning?
You have learned, yes. But you didn't set out to learn.
So Roger's thing about learning, his problem with learning was if you set out to learn. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so he didn't say you're not learning when you have an experience in you.
No, learning is after the fact. I learned that. I understand that.
Okay.
That is part of my understanding that I carry with
okay.
me.
Okay. All right, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's the ahead of time, I think I want to learn how to do something.
Right.
That he had a problem with. So I'm not setting out to learn to play the guitar. I'm
expanding your knowledge of music, or expanding your skills.
Expanding my knowledge.
Exercising your fingers, or expressing yourself in another way. But what he was about was, you know, like people say, I'm going to learn to be a doctor. And he would say, no, you are a doctor. Now you are going to obtain the skills to be that doctor.
Right. But obtaining those skills, that's not learning?
No. What you're doing is expanding yourself into your doctorness.
Okay.
Oh, like the statue.
That's doctoring.
Yeah.
Like a statue? I don't understand.
David bringing forth the figure and not...
Oh,
yeah.
The figure is already in the stone, you're just removing the excess.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you now?
Yeah,
thank you, Missy. Thank you very much.
Anybody else have something they wish to talk about?
Hi.
Gee, Andrew, you would have just been blown up if the missile came, huh? Maybe a better way.
Oh, well, actually, I slept through it.
Oh my gosh, you're so lucky.
Yeah, I slept through the whole thing. So what I've been telling everybody is, that, you know, see, a lot of people talk about wanting to die in their sleep, and it looks like I have a pretty good shot at doing so.
See, if you read my thing on Facebook, it basically said that I reached into myself and expanded myself out into the universe, and I said, I'm okay no matter what occurs. And I was fine, and I just went on drinking my tea and watched everybody else going through the commotion. It was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Andrew and I had this great telephone conversation in the aftermath of that, and he didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah,
I think that was very wise of you. How do you know you didn't know?
Well, I mean, if you want to go there, I did consider what does it say about how I'm living my life that, you know, I slept through it and everybody else went through this horrible panic. And I mean,
that's
days
what I mean.
Later,
the
newspapers are still going on about it. Everybody is calling for, you know, somebody's head. This can never happen again. It's just like, I mean, I was just unaffected. It's like I had a good day.
Yeah, but I
but
was
I understand.
I was in the midst of the hurricane and was just fine. And that's something that we've tried to express to you guys, to understand. To be fine in the middle of a hurricane is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I guess, you know, watching all those people, like, putting their kids down manholes and stuff, I thought, like, well, you know, I guess other people, I don't know. I don't know what this idea of even, you know, kicking around the idea of being eternal for several years, if it makes you not as concerned about life and death, or if, you know,
makes you realize there's not a lot
of other people only think that, yeah, other people only think there's this life. Don't know. I suspect Misty had more going than just, you know, I don't know. I suspect there's a lot going on in your thoughts and feelings and stuff over the years that probably helped you live in that way.
Yeah, it's not that I don't love life, because I do.
Mm.
And I enjoy every, you know, aspect of it. But if it suddenly ended, I would be fine too. And that's mm-hmm. that in many ways helped reinforce that I really do believe this.
Yeah. I think a lot of people only believe in this life and in this body self, even though they don't maybe want to admit that.
So, for me, that was interesting. So Lily and I just
made a good
sat there watching and
Go
drinking
ahead.
Tea.
I'll cut you off.
So Lily and I just sat there drinking tea, and when people would ask us things, we would answer them, and if they were panicking, we would, you know, help them a little bit and just went about getting on. So it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, Sally made a good observation. I don't know why more people haven't. Yeah, I guess in public relations terms, you can't come out and say it. This is actually a really good thing for people to see how prepared they actually are for an event like this. And nobody's really acknowledging that, no, you know, wow, we really are pretty unprepared. Nobody's taking it seriously. I mean, if you care this much, then why aren't you prepared? And nobody's really all that prepared.
Well, Carolla shared a really neat article that a lady wrote, and it was talking about those things, and then she says, "And now I realize how really unprepared I am." You know,
mm-hmm.
The only
exactly.
thing that you can prepare for is if you live through it, the fallout, then you should have the potassium iodine on board in your house to be able to take if you have the fallout. That's about it. That's all you can do.
Nobody has mentioned that. Well, I heard you need at least 2 weeks of food and you need to seal everything up, but nobody's talked about potassium iodine.
Well, they don't want you to know about it.
Well, I don't. Why wouldn't they want you to know about it? I don't understand.
Because somebody might take it and not need it.
Oh, I don't know. So it's not good for you to take?
Well, if you don't need it, you shouldn't take it. But certainly if there's nuclear bomb, yes, you should take it.
Well, why? What does it do?
It helps the thyroid, because the thyroid can be ablated and not non-functional if it gets hit with a high dose of radiation.
Oh, okay.
And that can cause you to die. The radiation certainly can also, but, you know, it's the fallout that you could be exposed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's about it, to have the food supplies, which I always have. And
yeah.
The water supplies.
So
and
Misty... You have the food supply, Missy, but you would not be able to seal up your house sufficiently. That's kind of a question as much as a statement. You've got, like, everything is open air.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean I have to stay here.
That's true. You don't have to stay there.
But it's interesting.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but I could...
It is.
I could go into the studio, tape up the windows, close the door, and be fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would work, too. That part would work.
Okay, so... Anybody else? Anything? No? Okay. Then we're going to pick it up from where we left off last week, which is at 2:54.
2:54.
Mm-hmm. And our brave first volunteer is... Andrew! Woohoo!
Is it easy A for Andrew? I don't know. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
I vote for A for Andrew.
We do the alphabet all the time. Unless you want to start in the middle of the alphabet, it really doesn't matter. We all get to read.
I don't mind. 254, you are not created, and you are not evolving, and you are also not developing, unfolding, or becoming. Can I say learning in there, too?
Yes.
You are in all respects emergent, an emergent greater whole. An emergent personal being, eternal being, illuminated being.
Okay.
I think, and anybody have questions on that based on what we talked about earlier? We're good?
That's kind of icing on the cake.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how this stuff almost always goes along with what we've just spoken about?
Yeah. Sure is.
Okay, so I imagine the next one is Karen from the people I know that's on, that are on.
Okay, 255. When you do something outside of your norm, if that is truly different, you access, if only for a moment, a part of your mind and being you have long neglected, or probably never realized even existed. So outside of my norm, if I stretch myself and think I'm learning to play the piano more in a more advanced way than I normally do, then I am just accessing part of my mind and being that I have long neglected or probably never even realized existed.
What exactly is he talking about there? Because I read ahead, it doesn't seem to ever clear that up, so I'm just going to ask.
You ask that again, Andrew?
I said, I read ahead, he doesn't ever specify what this part is, so what is he talking about here? What part of your, what is he referring to?
Well, we only use a very small part of who we truly are.
Okay.
And all he's saying is that you are expanding yourself into a bigger fullness of yourself. You're using your memory and accessing, information that you haven't before.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I think I'm next, if I'm correct. Are you willing to step outside of the causal patterns of thought and action you have molded yourself into and open new ways of perceiving yourself and all of life to reinvigorate everything about you? If so, awakening and re-experiencing your eternal self is just one of those out-of-the-box encounters that would be good for you and help lift yourself and life out of the ordinary. And that's more what he thinks about learning is awakening.
Mm-hmm. And that's those causal patterns, that long-term habitual thought. Yeah. And that becomes us, the way that we function that way without even thinking.
Okay, Patrick, I believe you're next.
If you want the benefits of thinking and acting outside of your norm to stay with you, your new ways must have the ability to completely transform the image you have of yourself and all of life. Otherwise, you will quickly return to your old causal images and ways as usual. So, your new ways must have the ability to completely transform the image you have of yourself and life.
Right, and that's what I talked about, like the image of being a doctor. Now you awaken that. Okay.
So that,
yeah.
Okay.
Functionally, then, for example, or to illustrate, that creating an image of my eternal self, even naming the eternal self and creating an active image, would that be along the way of having the ability to completely transform the image I have of myself?
If you're awakening yourself, yes.
If you're creating it, rather than taking down the, or rather than allowing yourself to fully expand your vision of being able to see yourself as that, because that's what you already are. If you're that, you already are that.
Yeah. And I'm awakening myself to that, the image. That
you don't have to create the image of.
Yeah, I took this to be a bit, almost anything that you do that it's within the pattern of your normal ways of thinking isn't going to sustain you a change.
And then, Karen, when you say awaken yourself to what the image you already are, how do we do that?
Trust it there.
What did you say?
Trust it's there.
How do you see it?
Communion with it. Does it matter that you see it?
Well, if you use the term image, that seems to imply there is something that is a picture somehow.
That could be a limitation.
Well,
I mean, you could put that as a limitation on it.
I'm just following the language here, and I'm just...
I know, I'm just poking you a bit.
Yeah. So the new ways must have the ability to completely transform...
I'm really having trouble hearing you, Patrick. If you could talk up, it would help me a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, your new ways must have the ability to completely transform the image you have of yourself and all of life, so that the communing with the non-particular, no, I don't know what the hell it is, except that I'm kind of communing with it. I just don't understand how that can
Well,
work.
You have an image, and then you live that image.
So that's what I kind of figured, but Karen was suggesting union.
No, the only thing I was saying is you don't have to create the image.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's all. Because that's a doing, and I was just being kind of picky with it. That's all I'm just...
Oh, yeah, but no, it's an important point, and I appreciate picking this here.
Because you already are that. You already know you are that. You already know you have this being that you are eternally, and you are in communion with it, and that gives, and that doing gives it substance anyway.
Yeah.
So it's only our limitation that keeps us from being that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes.
So it's not a creating or a doing. It's a stop a limit. Stop limiting. Stop the judging and limiting.
Yeah. And while that's stopping limiting,
what
you discover
yeah.
what else is there beside you. And that's building up an image, too.
So if you do something outside your norm and it feels that it is part of you and you see that this is you eternally, then you already know that is you.
Yes.
And you just long neglected that that was a part of you, but you were attracted to that knowingness and encompassed it in reality that, oh yes, this is part of me. So how many other ways do we limit ourselves?
Well, we limit ourselves excessively so because there is so much to the eternal that we focus our down to certain, let's call them priorities, which doesn't mean
so
that
he
those...
says, and open new ways of perceiving yourself and all of life and reinvigorate everything that we forgot is a part of us.
Well, that's a big, tall order. I think relative to the life you're leading and the skills that you desire for this particular life existence, there are many things that we could do that we say, well, that's not of interest to me. So we're not going to expand ourselves into everything because it's like that thing, you know, a jack of all trades and master of none, you run into the problem of, well, I got so much going on in my mind now that I can't even focus on the life that I'm trying to lead. So we focus ourselves down to a certain set of ideas, and it doesn't mean that we cannot expand out into other ones. We can. And that then becomes part of that focus of this life.
And personally, I don't think that we have to, in a sense, know what we're looking for in all detail first. I think you can have a sense of something. Like, I always remember, Misty, that life of yours of Gavrul, the story that you guys made of the trek.
Yep.
In that story, it was said Gavrul set out to know, or talk, or something like communicate with his guides and stuff. Didn't even know they were there or anything, but I think just setting the focus and making the effort, can discover all kind of things.
He wanted to discover how the universe actually operated.
Yeah, it's been a while since I read the story, but yes, basically, had an idea, didn't know what he was asking for entirely, and went looking.
Right. And said so he wasn't going to come back until he found it.
Right.
So there's this process that we're talking about kind of look for some particularization.
Well, in a sense, yes.
So I'm using Roger Bird as an illustration here for the moment, that he said that he came alive to figure out how the universe works and show that to others. That provided a particular focus.
Yes.
So that this notion of going outside your norm, that does that also point to not doing things differently, but actually doing something really different?
Or other.
Or other, yeah. Okay.
And you guys are going to have to speak up because we've got competition from the neighbor who's out spraying with some big machine. So.
Oh, I can't even hear him. Okay, good.
But I can, and I can't hear you guys.
Right.
Which one are we on?
I think we're on 258.
I think so, too.
I'm sorry, Pat, were you finished with that, or were you still going to say something? All right.
Okay, so that's Sharon now, right?
Is that me? Okay. Do you suppose it is possible to alter the image you have of yourself in life at every moment, and yet remain consistent and truly you? This can only occur by constantly adding to yourself in every moment and situation by not changing.
Not by changing.
Hold on. Not by changing. Yeah. In every moment and situation, not by changing. Hold on to your old beliefs and ways, but hold on very lightly so you can reach out and add to yourself.
And in the term reach out, it just means to expand yourself.
Yes, that one works for me.
Okay, Simone.
259. Are you willing to go beyond your norm, beyond your comfort zone? This is not always easy, but it is a way for you to realize, expand, and strengthen your authority of self. No authority over others.
I guess it
should emergent.
Be.
Oh.
Should be not, I
Did
think.
I stop?
Yeah, keep going.
Emergent is omnipotent and unconditionally loving. Unaware of eternal you.
Okay, so who joined
Here
us?
Here I have a question mark when I read. Why unaware of eternal me?
I think that's a headline for the next section.
That's the next section.
Ah, okay. Okay. So.
Who joined us earlier? Somebody that doesn't want to be part of the discussion?
Yeah. Yeah, it was me. It's Percent. I came on a little while ago.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so do you wish to read with us, Percent?
I don't have my book handy, and I just got home a little while ago.
Okay.
I'm making a bunch of noise at the moment.
Okay. So we're back around to Andrew.
Yeah.
And please
unaware of it.
Please read the passage numbers beforehand so that later on when people are listening they can find these passages.
Yes. Okay, unaware of eternal you has no passage number. The title.
Right.
Unaware of eternal you 260. Say 260. What to you is the difference between different and differently? Doing something different is doing something other than what you were doing, while doing differently means doing the same thing, but in a different way. In other words, in essence, different means other, while differently means same. With that in mind, which would you rather live? Different as other, or differently as same? Well, let's see.
Karen?
It was one of those rhetorical questions.
Yes, it was.
Yep, because you don't know which way it's going to go.
Ready for 261?
We are.
Yep.
Yep. All right. 261. Speaking of living, do you believe you would be living as the individual you are today if you had not been born here and born into a formed body? Two different borns.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't think so, because I think it's the particularization that gives us the opportunity to live as the individual that I am today, absent all the circumstances and everything else that our constituents, that the emergent individual that I am today wouldn't exist if I had not been born with an EMP.
Cannot hear you, Patrick.
Yep, sorry, dude.
If I hadn't, if I didn't have all the constituents that have come together that is the emergent me as the individuals I am today, then I would not be that had I not been born here with an E and born into a formed body. So very much it's, I wouldn't be living this if I hadn't been born here and born into a foreign body.
And to shorten that down, it
is
means...
there people...
Say what?
Is there really a difference between born with the E and born without the E?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
How would you... How can you explain it to me? Different.
Born without the E is the physical body. Born with the E is the eternal.
Okay.
Yeah. If something is
but
born
not in the meaning
to the
of
room,
born.
It's carried into the room with an E.
Say that again, Patrick, please.
That if it's born with an E, something, say, something is born into the room, something is carried into the room.
Yes.
So that we existed elsewhere and we were born, carried here. However, we haven't discussed that a lot.
But who you are is really because of the communion of the two.
Yes.
Without the body and without the eternal, then who you are today would not exist.
Correct.
And if you had been born into another body, you would be other than who you are.
Sure. But when I look up the word, born means born with an E means somehow carried. You are carried.
Carried.
Is that correct?
Carried.
Yeah.
Carried. So you were lifted
carried?
Up. Carried. Lifted up and brought into.
Yes, and born without an E is giving birth to.
Right.
Like.
Yes.
So as Patrick said, it's the eternal you being carried into the body.
Yeah.
Born into the body. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any more discussion on that one? Okay. Passage 262. What do you suppose your life would be if you had not become human? Of course, without having become human, maybe your existence would be too infinite and vague to have any substance and reality. Is it possible that being human gives you life? Or that life without being formed as human is not life at all for you?
I agree, yeah. The body as human gives me the possibility to particularize, which I don't have otherwise.
Yeah, it's like your antenna into the world. It allows you to see the world around you.
Yeah.
In a field of complete darkness, emptiness, a vacuum, I think you could, after a certain period of time, start to question whether you're alive, just because there's nothing, there's no reacting. There's nothing.
If there is no experience, there is no anything, as you're saying, Andrew. I agree.
Right. There's no, you can't even tell the passage of time.
You don't understand, you don't get anything. Except you might get hungry. Okay. Patrick, you're up.
263. If you were not you today as a human, what would you be? Where would you be? Would there even be a place for you? A time for you? What might you be lifing and living? Is there really a place for you in time, other than only right now, right here? How do you know?
I never thought about that, actually.
Yeah. Me neither, but then now that it's mentioned. Oh.
Well, the interesting thing to me has always been that there's a strong possibility that eternal me is living elsewhere in the universe also.
Can you expound on that a little bit? Are you saying,
well,
picking flowers in a field somewhere?
Well, let's say that eternal me is this big glob, let's put it that way, floating around in the universe, and it sends down a finger of itself to Earth and the information and makes the connection with the body. Why does it only have to be that one body? Could be a number of bodies even here on Earth at the same time. Could be on other planets. Could be in other dimensions that I don't even have an understanding of. There may be so much more to me than this existence that I am experiencing here right now. Have you guys not ever thought about that?
Yeah, I have. Roger kind of poo-pooed any ideas about, I don't know. He wasn't into a collective consciousness of any kind.
I'm not talking about a collective consciousness.
No, that's something different, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about just the one that I am. That I've limited myself down in a very small way for this existence on this planet at this time.
Yeah, to answer your question, I have thought of that, yes.
Anybody else have
something?
Yeah, me not. For whatever reason, I don't ask.
I thought loner body Simone is the particularization of eternal self, yeah.
The whole shebang.
But I do not exclude, now that we think about, that there is maybe another loner body with the same eternal me. Would I benefit from this somehow?
Eternal
you. Could we support each other?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that if you reached out and really put yourself out there, it's possible.
Well.
And the benefit, Simone, may be that we have other particulars that we can access from this particular.
Who we are
and how we are.
Yep.
Well, one obvious one is that when, assuming that's going on, then when this body dies, you haven't died.
That's true, Andrew.
But you have the experience. That's right.
Huh? It's just like, I don't know, I dare say, like, you know, a fingernail gets clipped off. But I mean, more like, it's like a head full of thoughts, and then there's a dream going, and when the dream ends, that dream is over, absolutely over, not continuing, but you can remember it, even though it's not going on, because everything else is going on, can relate to it. Or something else is going on can relate to it, maybe not everything else, but anyway.
So somehow it would explain the eternalness.
Well, it could. When Roger and I were kicking around the idea of multitude, that the eternal self is a multitude, was that a year now ago? A year or two ago?
I said the same thing.
Yeah, we never really resolved it, but that was one thing that I thought was a possibility. Like a tree with a fruit. Apple falls off, that apple's, you know, no longer part of the tree, but the tree still goes on and all the other apples do too.
Interesting.
I mean, to a certain extent, to me, that's a good, you know, reason for at different times of your life doing past life regressions and things, so that you expand your identity, your memories, by accessing memory.
I agree.
Of other lives. If you want to.
Okay. Whose turn is it to read?
I think it's mine. Didn't you just read that, Misty?
No. Did I?
I thought Pat just read.
I read 262. That means you read that one. But
Sharon.
No matter. You can read or not.
Yeah, I think it passed. I think it was Pat.
Is it my turn, 264?
Oh, actually. It's 264.
Yes.
We did do 263.
Yes, please.
What self and life do you desire or see for yourself when you are no longer appearing as you? Isn't this a reasonable question to ask? And a wise question for you to consider? Absolutely.
I think the key word here is appearing.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that.
Anybody else have any thoughts or discussion on that?
I'm still going through my head here a bit. Isn't this reasonable?
I think it's very important.
I expanded that far enough when I first read it. There isn't.
I cannot hear you, Patrick.
I hadn't expanded my appreciation of that passage until right now.
Do you see how important the word is, appearing?
My understanding. So,
yes.
Somehow our phone's not working like it normally does.
Well, sometimes you just have to suck up to it.
Yeah. So this is what are the image I have of myself that, absent this body?
Yeah.
When I'm no longer appearing.
As Patrick.
Is that what that's asking?
Yes.
Okay.
And what
well,
do you think?
Right,
yeah, that is a very reasonable question to ask. And a wise one to consider. Gets back to that image thing. If there's nothing particular, there's no image.
Yeah, or back to the idea that
right.
that maybe another loner exists from the same eternal being. You may
That's
be able
true.
To encompass or expand your vision to
encompass another view of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, am I offered that trying to find a particularized view?
I didn't say trying to find anything.
I wasn't actually referring to what you said. I was just going after it.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just going to offer that trying to find a particularized, you know, view might be limiting insofar as, you know, like look at the old particle and wave, you know, thing of light that Roger tried to use to describe the communion. You could say basically this, if, you know, the body is the particular, the physical embodiment is the particular, then the eternal is the wave. You're not going to necessarily see the wave, but if you consider it as an action, then you can exist in the universe as an action, not necessarily seeable, but definitely knowable. I think we covered that actually in quite a number of different ways over the years.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing is that a lot of times I think of it as when I'm not particular, when I'm not embodied, I am everywhere and yet nowhere. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yep.
If you step outside of language, yeah, I go for that. Yeah, I mean, it's it might not even be recognizable as conscious personality that we have today. It might just be like a base, I don't know what you call it, like in your dreams, just sort of a base, I don't know what you call it. I don't know how to say this word. Probability, a base tendency of self.
Okay.
I'm just putting that out there for discussion. I'm not saying it is, but could be very different than awake and conscious personality that we put on and act out every day.
And yet we don't know that when we leave this physical existence that we don't actually go to another physical existence. We really don't know.
Right. Nope, we don't.
This suggests that maybe having the image of going to another embodiment might be helpful.
Yeah, Roger and I have discussed that it's possible that when we step out of this existence, we immediately step into another.
Did he ever say, hey, were you ever around any of the Jacobing in Alaska or anything that ever addressed this, any of the readings he did over the years?
Oh, yeah, I have
sure
them all.
Somebody must have asked this.
I have them all. I mean, I haven't looked up, you know, I mean, I've got books.
No, but it would be one. I'm just asking if there was one you remembered where somebody asked a thing like this.
No, but I have books and books of the readings that he did back then.
Right. Okay. Just checking.
And one of these days, maybe we'll get into some of those and glean a whole bunch of information.
Well,
maybe
my own experience was that as a American Army pilot, I got killed over in a bombing run over Europe, and I came alive in this body pretty damn quickly.
But you did have some sense in between, if I remember your telling of that before.
Yeah, it's about 4 months, 5 months of Earth time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when you die, if you really think about it, if you go out of time at that moment, then the next time that you embody is the next moment.
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
And it's not necessarily forward in time.
That's right. It's just the next time that you embody. Because you are out of time, which means that you can step back into time anywhere.
Yeah, you guys are talking cool stuff.
It's not linear. Everybody thinks that it's linear, and it's not. Linear is only when you're in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, if you were to go back, it seems to me, as I imagine, if I was to go into a life before this one, years before this one, even on the Earth, the actual experience of being in that life, especially when you don't know what the outcomes are going to be, would be truly original. You know, yeah. It wouldn't be like you know what's going to happen.
Well, when you think about it, if you step out of time and then you step into time, let's say 200 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you have access to all the information that you had in this existence, and therefore, perhaps when some people say that everything that ever was already existed, it's because you can step in and out of time anywhere, and so we pull all that information from everywhere into every existence if we so desire.
Yeah. Actually, that's a very cool imagination. Yeah.
It's the kind of places where my mind goes sometimes. Anybody else have anything else to add to this?
New.
Okay, then I believe that it is now, what, Simone's turn? Is that correct?
Can be me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could be, I did
266. Would you choose to identify
infinitely?
Sorry, I start all over again. Would you choose to infinitely and eternally exist without ever being any particular? Without ever knowing, expressing, or experiencing yourself? To be sensed but never known or truly acknowledged?
I say no.
No. I think no.
I say no.
No. I think all the experiences I can do as a loner does enrich eternal self too.
I agree with that.
Okay. Andrew, run this for a second. I gotta go rescue a bird.
But we missed 65, didn't we?
Oh, did we skip one?
Yep.
Oh, I think I did, yes.
Oh, how about you cover that one too then, Simone? Unless anybody wants to comment
on that. 265. Is it possible that before being human, you existed but had no real life or identity? And unless you do something about it, after human death, you will continue existing but will have no real life or identity? Is that how you want to be and exist? Without being able to know or express yourself at a certain time and place in a way and manner you desire? Does that sound appealing to you? Oh. Those are the questions for 266, though, for me. Yeah.
So that unless we do something about it, it's just then that when that, you know, upon human death, you will continue to exist but have no real life or identity.
Now, I'm not entirely sure what he means. Like, at this moment, I may have forgotten everything I've ever heard before from our prior discussions, but I'm not entirely sure what it means by unless you do something about it. So I'm thinking that what that means, and please tell me if anybody has a different take on it, that the do something about it means live as you would be willing to live forever and ever, create an eternal self, and in living that way, the universe reacts then a self that is eternal for you, that you can be aware of after this self dies.
Mm-hmm. I think that captures it. And I think that...
Anybody else?
Don't we also add... part of doing something about it is having an embryo?
Oh, see? Ah, so many pieces and parts, I can't remember them all. Yes, that's really important, Pat. That's right. That really seems, I think if I recall correctly, that brings the whole thing to life in a very active way. Good notion.
Well, it gets particularized simply doing that which I'd be prepared to do eternally. Certainly sends an eternal message, or creates the eternal message. But it won't necessarily be all that particular without the declaration.
Right, that declaration puts it into a context, a big one. Okay, glad we asked.
We're back with Andrew.
Anybody else want to add to that one?
Doesn't sound like it.
No. It's fine for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, so 267. The eternal way, and at this moment I'm going to confess, I don't know what eternal way means. The eternal way does not want you to come to awareness of yourself without a what you are aware of. For such awareness has no real form or substance. Actually, it is not awareness at all. So I get everything in that sense except the eternal way does not want you to. I'm not sure what we're talking about there.
The eternal way is just the way of being eternal, that you understand that you are eternal.
Okay.
You could also say the eternalness of you.
Okay.
Without a what?
So it's a what and a way of being aware?
Without a what you are aware of.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you can't comprehend what's going on around you, what difference does it make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that actually have those kind of existences.
What's that mean? People in a coma?
Sure.
Okay.
Gotta still take care of a bird. Hang on. Keep going.
All right.
What would
All right.
awareness of myself be without a what? I mean, is that possible to have awareness of myself without what? Or is there an... For such awareness has no real form or substance. So does that mean the what he's talking about here is form and substance?
Possibly. I mean, I can imagine awareness and having an absence of a what, but I don't think it would be self-aware. I mean, I think it would be just real vague.
Okay. So is this on the scale of all the things that you might be if you, like after life kind of thing, before being human? So,
what was?
Like, 267 is after the other questions, which were all around, you know, what was it like? Is it possible that before being human, you existed but had no real life, etc. So is the what he's talking about here the physicality, the real form or substance, the body self, the loner body?
You're asking the same question I was asking.
To me the what is maybe also a declaration.
See, I don't want to just limit it to the form and the world around me, because I'd like to say that it's possible that if, you know, I am not able to perceive because I don't have my eyeball, or I don't have a set of eyeballs at the moment, haven't clothed myself in any of the material of the universe, that I could be aware of something. Maybe that's like what all those, you know, I'm just me thinking out loud. Maybe that's what it is to have yourself aware of yourself as an action, like all those you know, purposes we used to talk about from the readings. Because then you could be aware of that way of being no matter what's going on around you and still have some point of reference. It's just food for thought.
Yeah, who mentioned before the coma patient?
What'd you say?
Who mentioned before a patient in coma? To me, that's the illustration.
Well, I'd take it a little bit further, in that there is, it's possible to have a concept of being aware of yourself, i.e., that I feel the breeze, I feel hot, I feel cold. There must be a self here, that I bump into things, that there is an awareness of self, just simply because I'm interacting with the universe around me, and so I must be aware because I'm bumping into these things.
Is that awareness of self or awareness of the body?
That says that awareness of yourself without a what?
No, but I'm saying in your example or your illustration.
Yeah, and that's it's awareness of the body, that it's functioning, and I'm obviously somehow it's happening to me, but there is no what involved with that.
That's so it's simply ordinary. Awareness of that it's just body.
Yeah, it's just a body, it functions, it has feeling, it's tactile, has, you know, kind of experience physical discomfort or whatever, but there's no what involved with that.
Or
there's no form or substance to that.
There's no interpreter of that.
Yeah. And there is infinite possibilities of interpretation of any given thing. And so the what must give some kind of screen or context to what we're interpreting.
That's why I said before, the what might be a declaration.
Yeah, I kind of go with that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's an interesting one, just kind of building off what Pat said. I mean, if there is any point of existence in which you are in a place where there is no environment around you that's perceivable, could we be aware of memory or even memories of, I don't know, previous lives or something, and have that be sufficient awareness?
I don't think that addresses the what that I think this passage addresses.
Okay, because I'm suggesting that memory is a what, or memories would be a what that you could be aware of. In other words, having lived a life, as I have that memory, then I actually have expanded my eternal self, because I'm actually aware of things now within my cosmic bubble phone bubble.
Just who are you?
Put it out there. Right, well, that's exactly what it would be helping me to see.
So the mass of memories give you identity?
I mean, what if what if one of the purposes of our lives is that we are creating an eternal awareness of ourselves? Yeah. This is just a what if.
Well, there's the notion that we come alive so that we can experience relationships, interaction, and all that kind of good stuff, that's absent when we just function as an eternal being. Maybe there's clues if we read ahead.
Okay. I don't think so, but okay. I'm just saying, I read ahead, I didn't get much in this regard, but maybe.
Whose turn is it?
Who's next?
Where are we? 268. Okay. Being alive is about awareness. And all of your life is about what you will be aware of. It is pointless to think of awareness without identity. This world gives you form and identity. It is up to you to recognize yourself and transfigure your identity and the expressions of your identity as you truly desire, so you can maintain and express that identity eternally or not. So this world gives you form and identity. I go back to this, I mean, this world, this body, I mean, this loner body gives me form and identity. So it's all well and good to be aware, but if you don't have a body, I mean, this comes back to the communion, right? Like the eternal and the physical.
I agree.
Yeah, me too.
And that's why he asked all those questions earlier. If you were not as a human, today as a human, what would you be? Is it possible that before you were a human, you existed? He's looking for the embodiment, I think.
Well, it's interesting because that's what that passage, well, the passage said to me, or something like, life is about awareness. Being alive is about awareness. And all of your life is about what you will be aware of. I guess it goes back to a what. It's some kind of what. Which is point without identity.
But the important thing is that you get to decide.
I think that is the important thing.
Okay. Passage 269. Are you willing to life yourself as you eternally desire? For relying on reincarnation or karma, or hoping to be raised after death to provide continued life, is a shallow hope. Will you life and transfigure yourself today as you eternally desire? Or will you forsake this opportunity and pass into an unknown existence again? And then there was silence, except from Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like the monkey going.
The strong, or the words, or the term eternally desire figure very prominently in this passage. So are you willing to life yourself as you truly desire, life and transfigure yourself as you eternally desire? And in doing that means that avoid passing into an unknown existence again.
If we set it up, we know what we're heading into. If we don't set it up, then it's a scary unknown, which is a big part of what I experienced on Saturday.
Yeah.
What did you say, Misty? This is a big part of
what I experienced on Saturday. Those of us that were pretty well set and understood how we would express ourselves eternally and stuff like that were fine. But those that didn't were all scared and running around like chickens with their heads off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To them, that is a very, very scary thing.
I wonder if there were long lines at Costco.
No, there wasn't. Yeah, the funny thing is there really wasn't even time for that, because it was only 38 minutes.
I know, that's what I mean.
But I don't think, you know...
Usually when a hurricane is coming, there's all these long lines and the shelves are stripped at Costco, but you wouldn't have even had any time at all. I think they were all waiting on the freeway.
I think that the concern was more for safety. But in a nuclear attack, there is no safety.
I know.
Yeah, people are somewhat ambivalent about this. You'll prep for a hurricane. A lot of people are not even prepping for a nuclear attack.
I mean, what can you do? There really isn't
point.
Anything. I mean, we're here on an island. What are we going to do? Where
yeah.
are we going to go?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Really?
Okay, so we're on to you, Patrick,
right.
I believe.
Yes. 270. You are killing yourself with silence. Is that what you want to continue? Stand up and declare yourself. It's back to the declaration again.
All right.
It really is.
Declare who you are and live it.
Right.
Uh-oh.
There goes somebody's phone again.
Angela, is that you?
Or maybe
it sounds kind of like a low battery from a telephone.
What's this? Oh, my phone just clicked out for a second. What happened on your side?
We got beep, beep, beeps.
That was you.
Beep, beep, beep.
Oh, did you really? Dang, all right. Well, sorry, I'll get off this phone then. I'll get off this handset. I didn't know it did that. Silent for me.
Except earlier.
Yeah, I was on a, yeah. Okay, I got it now. Thank you.
Okay.
Switching over.
271?
271.
Yep.
The world around you will be to you as you are to the world. Therefore, as you light yourself, as you truly desire, you like the world for you as well.
That really is pretty cool when you really think about it.
That's really important.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I see this every day now. This is sort of a new awareness, or this has come along, or new realization has come along after all these years. The number of people, well, the people I see who get most reactive, most upset, most victimized, most blaming, most angry at other people in the world are people who don't realize that the world is being for them as they are being.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't get over it. I mean, it's like your mind can't compute. They're pissed.
Yep.
But when you have this realization, you can always take a step back to yourself and say, oh, I know what this is about. Okay, I got it now. Thank you.
It's hard to even talk to people these days.
Is it?
Is that a statement in general or a statement from a forever living point of view?
From a forever living point of view, that you see that phenomenon that you speak of, Andrew, and in action in everywhere, every time, and it's sort of like, yeah, well, that's an interesting story you're telling yourself, guy. Are you sure you want to do that?
Well, what's harder than talking to people is taking advice from people. It's insufferable.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there are ways to handle
that. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I went to, just for kicks, I went to... A little store around here that does psychic readings several months ago. And, you know, my girlfriend and I got a psychic reading, each of us. And this lady gave some information that at first was pretty good. It's like, okay, yeah, that's accurate. And then she went into, like, what you need to do is, and it's, like, all about you need to love more. You need to have more time for relationship. You need to do this and that. It was like, she just started giving her own advice about everything. And it was, like, so useless.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. This is how you make it better.
Mm.
But anyway. it didn't address to me the issue, but whatever.
Okay, who's up?
Me. 272. Plato and Socrates indicates centuries ago that living is an art, and the art of living is excellent only when you are prepared in depth to the full extent of your being, to the fullness of your mind and body. Does that seem possible?
I would assume it was possible. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
I think it is possible. Yeah.
Okay. I guess we're spinning back around to you, Andrew.
Okay. 273. It makes no real sense that an excellent life depends upon preparation and performance. Life isn't that cruel. Nor is life given only to those who are prepared. Life and all aspects of life, including eternal life, are offered equally to everyone, the prepared and unprepared. However, awareness of your eternal self and life today and after death does require preparation. I assume that means if you don't do, you don't got.
That's right. You live by default, you're kind of screwed at the end.
Well, you have that which you're doing and a whole lot more, but it's just more of the same.
Yeah, and okay. And you have to put in some constituents. That might be the preparation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, next one.
Next is Karen.
276?
4.
274.
Okay, that's one. All right. A full enriching life is actually lived by everyone. The only difference is that some are aware of that and fully realize the life they are truly living, and others do not. And those who do not struggle endlessly against most of their life without meaning or purpose, regardless of what they are doing and living.
No comments?
No comment.
Okay. Passage 275. The art of a fine, enriching self in life does not require preparation. Everyone is prepared for that. However, awareness and realization of your enriching form and substance communioned with the meaning and purpose of your eternal self in life may require you to step out from behind languaged beliefs and distortions. And that may take some time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, you actually have to live it. You can't just think about it. You actually have to live it.
And do something different rather than differently.
That's right. Okay, Patrick.
But,
oh, hang on. Go ahead, Simone.
There, in 273, there it says, requires preparation. And here it says, does not require preparation.
What's the it, though? You got to look at what the it is.
Yeah, what we are speaking about.
Which is?
Which is, which is life.
I don't read it that way.
The See, in
one
this
for
one,
me was,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Andrew.
The prior one for me said, life, nor is life given only to, let's say, so basically, life and all aspects of life, including eternal life, are offered equally to everyone. However, awareness of eternal life, I think it's a different it.
Then even
awareness needs preparation.
Right, needs preparation. And this is talking about the art of that.
Okay. So the art is then emergent. Right. Does not need preparation. Yeah.
Yeah, the art of an enriching self in life does not require preparation. But the awareness of your eternal self in life today and after death does require preparation.
Yeah. I see the difference, yeah.
Okay. Who's up next?
I think it's me.
I think so too.
276? Of course, whatever Plato and Socrates meant by saying that an excellent life requires preparation, from the demonstration of their lives, these words alone keep you in language and ill-prepared to understand the excellence and enriching life you are creating and living at every moment. That's, the very basic piece of Plato and Socrates' advice is that you got to cause the outcome.
I wondered what he meant by that.
277. It is time for you to move on. Not move on away from the ravages of languaging, not into the depths of languaging, and fully describe your images, knowings, and experiences, for only languaging blocks your awareness and realization of your enriching self and life, and your place in time.
It's a difficult step to move from languaging what I see going on, or the alternative is fully describing my images and knowings and experiences. I find it so easy to slip back into language.
Why isn't
languaging
it?
What's
Yep. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, even in a function as a consultant, people pay me to interpret what's going on. So I can describe what's going on to my clients, but they always say, well, what does it mean? What do we got to do? Wow. Yeah, okay. So I want them to be impressed by me, so I tell them what to do. I've locked myself in that cycle.
Well, you could always say, if it were me.
?278?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, you do live fully and enrichingly outside of language, but being blinded and defended and struck unimaginative by language.
No, bring it back. But being blinded and deafened so that you can't hear.
Deafened. Oh, okay. Yeah. And struck unimaginative by language, you are not aware of that life and its benefits. Now, what will you do? And how will you do it? Are you willing to describe yourself and life in a different way, and then live differently? For it seems that without a different description of yourself and everything in your life, you won't live anew or differently.
He drops that differently in from time to time when I think, gee, that's out of place.
Well, let's quickly move on to the next one then.
Okay.
22-279. Can you understand? I think it's my turn, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Can you understand that living different is temporal and that living differently is eternal? However, without the awareness of eternal, living differently is merely the eternal of memories, of repeating the same thing over and over. While eternal, differently, is living the multitude, I'm going to have to read this twice, guys, is living the multitude of one eternal choice or declaration in many different ways. Now do you have a better understanding of the endlessly entangled relationship of different and differently?
Yeah. Holy
pardon
God.
Me. If you pardon me, I'm going to try that one more time just for myself at least.
I think that's a good idea.
Can you understand that living different is temporal in time, I think that means, and that living differently is eternal. However, without the awareness of eternal, living differently is merely the eternal of memories, of repeating the same thing over and over. While eternal differently, Jesus, I'm not getting this. I got the first part. Can you understand that living different is temporal and that living differently is eternal? Okay, understand what he's talking about.
Okay, so then let's take
the next sentence. Yeah.
Go ahead.
However, without the awareness of eternal, okay, living differently, that would be by loving our body, living differently.
Living the same as always.
Eternally.
Is merely the eternal of memory. Why is it? God, I hate that he uses this word all the time, eternal, of memories. If we're talking loner self, why isn't it just living merely, what living differently is merely memories with an S? Why is it the eternal of memories?
Because eternal in that sense means that that's all you're doing forever.
Okay. Right, I understand the following one after that, of repeating the same thing over and over. While eternal differently is living the multitude of one eternal choice or declaration in many different ways.
You get that?
And I get all that. I get everything else from there. Now do you have a better understanding of the endlessly entangled relationship between different and differently? I'm sorry, guys. You know, I've taken issue with the use of the word eternal here, because I get confused. It seems like it's used in so many different contexts as to become meaningless to me. I can never understand what eternal is talking about.
Well, to me, it means forever and ever.
I would go with that normally, except that I don't think that's how as I read through some of these things, I don't think that's how he always uses it.
Pretty much it is.
You're totally right. It is?
Pretty much.
Well, okay.
Okay, Karen.
Well, we'll check it as we go along. Huh?
I'm just saying it's Karen's up to bat.
Go ahead.
Oh, 280. Are you, as a personal being, beginning to understand how this entangled confusion and distortion of languaging brings about the death of your active awareness and realization of yourself as an eternal being.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
I think we all can pretty much say yes. Okay, passage 281. Only by arousing and enlivening your eternal self by declaration and command will you ever understand the extent of isolation and unawareness languishing has you languishing in without your eternal self and without any awareness of your place in the universe or in time. Arouse and enliven your eternal self. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm. Pretty important to declare and live that.
Okay, Patrick, then if everybody has that area, we'll go on to the sin of sin, correct?
The sin of sin.
Yeah.
282. The history of mankind, as it has been recorded, and as you know of it, is about the constant effort for survival, a striving to conform to or oppose moral laws, a struggle for redemption, and attempts to secure an afterlife.
Hmm. Yep, yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Saw something on Facebook yesterday, I think it was, for a fairly senior member of the Anglican Church in Britain.
Get closer.
Did an interview that said the church had made up hell. It doesn't really exist.
Yeah. You refer to Jennifer Post. I did see that too.
So struggle, striving, conforming, opposing, struggling, and somehow trying to get an afterlife. Yep, that's right. That I see that.
Well, 93.
Okay, good.
Yeah, sure. Sin is not limited to individual acts contrary to the good that God desires of you, but also includes evil or impure thoughts, desires, and attitudes, and failure to do what is right. Sin is opposing God's benevolent purpose for you. It is an ever-present corruption of God's desires that enslaves mankind. Sin is an attempt to replace God, or for men to become like God. Yet, think carefully about this. Wouldn't an unconditionally loving and benevolent God want everyone to be as he is, to be and live as a condition of godness? Could a loving God want any less for you? You can continue these old concepts of sin only if you believe a benevolent God wants less for you, and you are unwilling to end your addiction to being only yourself, as you seem to believe yourself to be. However, you are willing to turn away from these old beliefs, we will consider sin and yourself from an entirely different perspective. Okay.
Okay, Simone?
Sin becoming an issue then, yes. 284. A sin is any belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action or any desire or experience you follow that goes against yourself, against your true self as a communion, personal being, eternal being. True. Mm-hmm. To me. Well,
hey, Andrew.
What number is that again?
285.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. So, if you judge or hurt another, you act against the self in life you would be and live eternally. Sins do not accumulate nor burden you. They are forsaken at the moment of action, unless, of course, you carry them in memories and repeat them, or seek to atone for them or make amends. For all such actions go against yourself by continuing the original sin as an issue. Makes sense?
Who's eating? Clank, clank, clank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're on to Karen.
If someone hurts you, steals from you, or speaks ill of you, that does not go against you, and it is not therefore a sin. However, take offense or criticize, and that is a sin, for in that you are acting against yourself. Even accepting or forgiving the original wrongdoer or the action is a sin, because in accepting or forgiving, accepting or forgiving, you have judged the action as wrong.
Yeah, it should be forgiven.
And in need of your acceptance or forgiveness, which is a thought or judgment that goes against yourself as an eternal being.
Pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 287. Sin begins with discontent, which leads to self-rejection and acting against yourself. Though you believe you are acting for yourself, you are a communion, personal being, eternal being. Therefore, what you believe, think, attitude, and emotion about, say, and do, or desire and experience as a personal being is done unto you as an eternal being. You, as a personal being, can certainly act against the eternal self you truly desire, and acting against yourself in that way is the sin, which requires you to get right with yourself, not with God. Any questions on that one?
Okay.
Hey, Patrick.
288. Acting against another person is a sin, only in imposing that on yourself as a personal being. And acting against your eternal self, for in acting against your being an eternal self, you have rejected yourself as an eternal being and forsaken yourself as the communion's personal eternal being, and that is the only true sin.
Okay.
289. Though this may be difficult to understand, please listen carefully. If I say to you, you certainly are ugly, and you are irritating, or if I steal from you, or hurt you as a personal being, my actions against you are not sins. I have sinned only in imposing those actions on my eternal self. and none of my actions are to be interpreted to mean that you've been wrong or have been or have sinned. However, you're reacting and responding contrary to yourself as an awarefully communion personal being, eternal being, is the only sin, for in that you have transgressed and offended yourself.
So you really are only doing things to yourself.
Yeah.
No matter what, yeah.
Okay.
It's so difficult.
Anybody have anything else they want to discuss about that?
Yeah, I don't think so. No.
Okay, so I'm going to call it there for tonight because we start with Chronicle J next.
We do?
Or does it go back somewhere?
Yeah, next
in
section
the beginning.
Is the beginning and even today.
Even today.
Okay, well then
what
about that?
Pages to go.
Then I got to go back and find that, so.
Yep, there's several pages.
That's 290 and it goes all the way to 407.
Okay, so it goes to in the beginning. Because I got to go find it.
In the beginning and even today.
And then it goes to begin again, please, on the very last page.
Okay. So I've got to go find that anyway.
Okay, that is random. Yeah.
In my book, it's all over the place, believe me.
okay,
so we'll pick up there next week. Does anybody
okay,
have
okay
anything
go.
Else that they want to discuss before we call it a night?
No,
good
thank
to talk to
much.
Everybody. Good to hear everybody.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying this, guys. I really appreciate having this opportunity with you.
Yeah.
Nice having you back.
I'm here.
Me too.
Me three.
Good.
It helps to keep on track through the week.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you.
Good night for now.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello.